When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Live, brought to you, as always, by Inside the Penguins, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. The first off-season edition of Tip of the Iceberg Live. We're going to talk about two very interesting topics. One about Penguins prospects who are getting ready for the American Hockey League playoffs as the Pens decided to load up on AHL prospects before they take on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. But before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about Sidney Crosby's contract because it is starting to make its way towards center stage. It's going to be a topic of conversation over the following months as the offseason starts to make its way through the months of April, May, and then into June before Crosby officially is able to re-sign that contract on July 1st. But before we talk about those two things and answer some of your questions, if you're here live on Inside the Penguins, do want to send out a quick reminder that we are doing a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead giveaway. Remember, all you have to do to enter this giveaway is subscribe to Inside the Penguins on YouTube, screenshot that proof of subscription, and post it under the pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast. And if you want a bonus entry, a second opportunity at this Jaromir Jagr bobblehead, leave a 5-star review on either Apple or Spotify. Same thing goes. Screenshot that, post it under the pinned tweet, and you'll be entered to win the Jagr bobblehead. The winner will be selected on this very live stream next week on April 30th. Same live stream that we do every single Tuesday. We'll give out that Jagr bobblehead. We'll have Nick Horwat of the Tip of the Iceberg on for that giveaway as we talk a little bit more about the Penguins offseason. But let's start things off by discussing Sidney Crosby's contract extension. This is obviously the first time that he'll be eligible for extension since signing the contract that he's currently under. He has to wait until July 1st, but you saw both he and Kyle Dubas were asked questions about it last Thursday and Friday during locker room cleanout and then Dubas's end of the season presser. Let's first look at what Sidney Crosby had to say when asked about his future with the Penguins and with the NHL in general.
I mean, do you have a number in your head, or because you put up the numbers that you did today, this year, you might think I can sign this for a real long time?
Yeah, no, I don't really think like that. You know, I've always just gone year to year, and that's always kind of served me well as far as how I evaluate my game and that sort of thing. There's always a lot of factors, but I think that's separate from, you know, talking contract, and obviously at my age and things like that, there'll be a lot of factors. But as far as just evaluating my game, I don't look any differently at, how much longer I can play based off that. I think it's always just evaluating my game for what it is, not my age.
But just to clarify, when you said year to year, are you thinking about doing year-to-year deals moving forward?
No, I'm saying just when you're looking at year-to-year and evaluating your game, doesn't, you know, whether I was 26 and had a good year, I don't, like, you know, it's nice that, I felt good, was able to play all the games and things like that, but as far as the outlook, I don't think it changes how I approach that.
Do you have the intention of signing a extension when you can this summer, when it's possible?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm going to talk to Kyle and have a conversation with him, but we'll see. I think it just, you know, it's something that, have conversations with him about.
Now, I don't know about you when you listen to that minute and 28 seconds of Sidney Crosby, but to me, it sounds like somebody that's not too concerned about what his next contract's going to look like. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he doesn't care what it looks like. Obviously, he cares. It's his livelihood. It's how he makes his money. But it sounds like somebody who, when a deal gets done, a deal gets done. But I would be very surprised if we get to the 4th of July, honestly, and there's not a contract extension announced for Sidney Crosby. Like I said, he's eligible on July 1st, the opening of free agency. But if detail-wise, I don't think it's something that he's overly concerned about. Does he take the $8.7 million again? We all know that Sidney Crosby's superstitious. There's a chance that he does that. There's a chance that he finally gets paid a little bit closer to what he's worth, because he has been one of the most underpaid superstars in the National Hockey League for almost his entire career. Does he ask for $10 million? Does he ask for $10.5 million? Does he ask for anything more than that? It's anybody's guess at this point, and it's unlikely that we hear anything ahead of time, especially considering this is the 1 year in advance contract extension, not him getting ready for free agency. And as far as years wise, you heard him there. Yeah, he might be taking his career year by year, but at the same time, I would be very surprised if he doesn't sign a multi-year extension. And again, that's not for any insider information. That's just based on what I've watched, what I've seen, what I've heard, just listening to Sidney Crosby talk over his entire career. It would be a surprise to me if he doesn't sign that multi-year extension. And then also, I mean, you look at it, it doesn't need to be 4 years. Maybe it's a 2-year deal that lines him up with Chris Letang. Maybe it's a 3-year deal that lines him up with Chris Letang, or a 1-year deal lining him up with Evgeny Malkin. I'm not sure what it would be, but honestly, when you look at the extension for Crosby and what it could be, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's earned the right to have the blank check. Anybody that's heard him talk about what he thinks about some guy like Mario Lemieux knows that he's probably going to end his career in Pittsburgh. Kyle Dubas echoed the sentiment as much on Friday. As far as what we expect from this and what I expect from this, if I had to put a estimation on it, and again, this is just my thought, my opinion, what I would predict he signs is a 3-year deal, probably at $10 million for $30 million total. Is he worth that? 100%. He's putting up 94 points at 36 years old. I would not be surprised in the least if he asks for that $10 million, and that would still, at that point, be an underpay for Sidney Crosby and what he's brought to this organization, what he probably will bring as the years go forward. As far as what Dubas had to say about it, this is what he had to say. Quote, "I know it will be a big topic, as it is, but it's imperative that they're kept private between me, Sid, and Pat Brisson. That's why I think you're not going to hear anything, because if there's any leaks that come from this, it's not going to come from Crosby's side, because it's not going to be that difficult of an extension for Crosby. They're basically going to ask him, how many more years do you want to play, and what do you want to make? And if it's not $13 million, $15 million a year, it's probably going to be signed right then and there." Dubas went on to say, "I think he should finish his career with the Pittsburgh Penguins. How long that is, I'm not going to put any limits on Sidney Crosby." So it's the very early stages of this. Obviously, it's going to be an offseason where that could take center stage when and if it does happen. But as of right now, very little by way of information as to what it could look like, how long Crosby wants to play. But one thing is for certain, it's probably going to get done this offseason. I doubt that Crosby would let it go into his final year of a contract without signing that extension. And same goes for the Penguin side of things. Why would they let Sidney Crosby go into a contract year? Why would they let him play on a contract year knowing that they're going to want to sign him for the remainder of his career? Let's talk a little bit about the Penguins bulking up for the AHL playoffs, because that's exactly what they've done since their season ended last week. They sent back Radim Zahorna, Valtteri Puustinen, Ryan Shea, and Jack St. Ivany from the NHL squad to participate in the American Hockey League playoffs. Not only that, they signed college second-round pick Tristan Broz to their 3-year ELC and also signed him to a tryout contract, so he'll participate in these playoffs on a tryout, and then his ELC will likely begin next season, or it's scheduled to start next season. They also brought in Owen Pickering, Ville Koivunen, Cooper Foster, and Emil Pieniniemi. They will all also be added to the American Hockey League roster. So bulking up in a big way, lots of prospects joining the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for their postseason run starting tomorrow. They take on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms in a best of three series. Game one is Wednesday, game two is on Friday, and game three, if necessary, will be on Sunday at Mohegan Sun Arena in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So it's interesting because Kyle Dubas has obviously talked a lot about wanting to get younger. That was starting in December. That was something that was brought up every single time he spoke to the media, whether that was on his GM show with Josh Getzoff, who's a friend of the show, or whether that was with his press conferences with the media. That was always a sentiment from December on that was started to get echoed, and you started to see it in the transactions as well. Valtteri Puustinen got to play the back half of the season. Sam Poulin got an opportunity late in the season. A guy like Vasily Ponomarev would have been brought up if not for his injury. A guy like Jack St. Ivany got an opportunity late in the season. Drew O'Connor moved up in the lineup, got a little bit more responsibility. That's all matching up with Kyle Dubas wanting to get younger. And with that is going to come next year's training camp. This year, we saw a lot more competition at training camp, but a lot of that competition was for one or two spots, and it was between a lot of veteran players, your Radim Zahornas, your Jansen Harkins, who has had a handful of experience at the NHL level whenever he came over in that, not deal, the waiver claim. You had Drew O'Connor, who immediately won that spot, but those other spots were already taken. Those other spots were taken by a Matt Nieto, by a Jeff Carter, by a Noel Achary. So there was very little space for young players to make it, a lot of roadblocks in front of them. That's what I think is going to be the biggest difference next year. There's not going to be nearly as many roadblocks, and a lot of these players that you're going to see at the American League level in the playoffs here are going to be the ones that are vying for those spots. Already mentioned a guy like Valtteri Puustinen. He probably has a leg up. If you're writing down your roster for the Pittsburgh Penguins next season as of today, Valtteri Puustinen is probably already in that. So he's going to be taking part in the American Hockey League playoffs. Jack St. Ivany earned that opportunity to be in the same position as Valtteri Puustinen with his play down the stretch. He's probably penciled into a spot as of right now. We'll see where the offseason takes us. But Jack St. Ivany at the moment is a leader in the clubhouse for an NHL roster spot out of camp. Tristan Broz is an interesting player in this. I saw somebody, Pittsburgh Hornets was in the chat early on, said, I watched some of the Frozen Four, but how good is this kid coming from Denver? And that is Tristan Broz, signed to a 3-year ELC. He's somebody that was picked in the second round and kind of faded into the back a little bit playing with the USHL. I believe it was Chicago Steel. I might be wrong on that one. He went over and started his college career with the University of Minnesota, went to the Frozen Four with Minnesota, was unable to win, and then transferred to Denver, where he had a really good back half of the season this year, obviously scoring two goals in overtime during that run to the Frozen Four and to a national championship is huge. But he became one of the pivotal centers for a championship team for Denver. It's intriguing to see what he's able to do when he makes that transition to pro hockey. Now, do I expect him to come in and be lights out early on for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins? No, you have to make that transition from playing against college guys to playing against the pros. But I'm intrigued to see how he handles this playoffs and how he handles the summer. When he comes back, does he go into prospect development camp where we saw Sam Poulin start earlier this past season? What does he look like in training camp? Because I'm sure he's going to get an invite now that he's under contract. So Tristan Broz is a name to watch in these AHL playoffs. And then the other names of players that have an opportunity to make an NHL roster spot or should be at the very least involved in the NHL decision-making early next season and in training camp, Ville Koivunen, somebody who came over during the Jake Guentzel trade. A guy like Sam Poulin, who's obviously played in 3 NHL games in each of the last 2 seasons. Does he crack the roster right out of camp? Joel Blomqvist, we talked about him earlier today on Tip of the Iceberg. He's somebody that, depending on how he performs in these AHL playoffs, could potentially be looked at as an NHL option going into the summer. That's going to be huge. Jonathan Gruden, who's been dealing with injuries, if he plays, that's obviously somebody that could vie for one of those fourth line roles. I thought he looked really good this season when given the opportunity in the fourth line for a little bit more of an extended playing time, those 8 to 10 minutes instead of the 5 to 6 minutes that he got during his first couple of call-ups. So Gruden will be interesting if he gets on to the ice at the AHL level. And the same thing goes for Vasily Ponomarev. Didn't really get too much under his belt after the trade deadline. There was going to be that opportunity to come up to the NHL level, but he ended up getting hurt with a pretty bad high ankle sprain, as far as Kyle Dubas has mentioned. And it's unlikely that he ends up playing unless they go on a very, very deep run and he heals up quickly. So Ponomarev is another name to watch if they go on a run. If he gets back into the lineup, who does he play with? Is it with some of these other guys that he's going to be vying for spots with next year? Your Sam Poulins, your Ville Koivunins, some of these other names. Or is he going to be lower in the lineup, playing with guys like maybe Cooper Foster, who is impressive and was good at training camp, heard a lot of really good things. He looked good at prospect development camp last year, but he's not necessarily somebody that you would pick to go out and become an NHL regular next season. So a lot of names going down to the American Hockey League. I'm interested to see how J.D. Forrest handles this influx of talent that joined his squad, but a big opportunity for the American Hockey League. Kyle Dubas, one of the first things that he said when he was hired by the Pittsburgh Penguins last June is he wants the AHL and the ECHL to succeed. He wants organization-wide success. And part of that starts this year with Wheeling Nailers of the ECHL being in the playoffs. They're currently up 2-1 in their series. And the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins taking on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Again, that starts tomorrow. The lineup is going to be something fun to watch. And I mentioned all these names. There's another name that could join them if they go on a run and the run for Braden Jaeger ends in the WHL. He's currently with the Moose Jaw Warriors, having a great playoffs. I believe it's 14 points so far in the first two series for the Moose Jaw Warriors, and he's headed over to the Eastern Conference Final in the WHL. So somebody else to keep an eye on if his season ends and the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins season continues. But loaded up for an AHL run, maybe they can go out and get the Calder Cup, which would be huge for the Penguins organization, an organization that has been looked at for several years as having one of the worst prospect systems in the NHL. Would be a nice confidence boost for them. Would be a lot of really good work for guys like Pustinen, St. Ivany, Bros, Koivunen, Pickering. The list goes on and on. There's plenty of them to talk about, and I'm excited to see what they're able to do over the next week and hopefully longer if they can extend their run into the second round and so on. But let's get to some questions here on Tip of the Iceberg Live. I saw somebody ask, Team Crusade says, what's the ceiling for a guy like Tristan Bros? I haven't dove deep into the prospect system for the Penguins anytime recently. I do know Bros is somebody that has made a lot of strides this season based on what I've heard, based on what I've read, and based on what I watched at the Frozen Four. Them signing him to an ELC just explains that point blank. I think that when you look at Bros, though, his ceiling right now is probably a middle six type of guy. I don't think he's going to be a top six guy anytime soon, but if he breaks into the NHL in the next 2 years, it's probably going to be on that third line, fourth line role where he came in and started this season as a winger. He was moved over to center, and that's really when his season took off for Denver. So how do the Penguins balance that with guys like a Sam Poulin, who is center and winger, but has taken off as a center more so than a winger? So it's going to be intriguing where Bros is able to go. But at the end of the day, it's all about watching these young guys because they might be the ones that are vying for those third line, fourth line roles next season, depending on how many names Kyle Dubas decides to bring in over the summer. He wants to go young. There's plenty of options at the AHL level this year. Pustinen being the top one. Does Drew O'Connor end up being a bottom sixer, or do they actually believe in him as a long-term option in the top six? If he does, then there's another third line spot that's open there. Does Poulin take it? Does, you know, a guy like Ponomarev impress during training camp and take that spot? It's going to be a fun offseason when it comes to watching these young guys, not only here, but then at rookie development camp after the draft. How many of these guys participate in that? How many of them participate in the Buffalo Rookie Challenge, which I would hope that the Penguins end up participating in again? And then how many of them continue to take that momentum and carry it in to the training camp and hopefully an opportunity at either the AHL or the NHL level next season. Pittsburgh Hornets asks, what contracts do you think the Penguins can realistically move in the offseason? Whenever I see that question, the first names that come to mind to me, Riley Smith, Rickard Rakell, Tristan Jarry is a tough one. I don't know if they're going to look to trade Tristan Jarry. I think there's a chance that they might be better off trading Tristan Jarry, but I'm not sure anybody else is going to take it. 4 more years at over $5 million for a goaltender that can't perform well in March or April is not something that's going to be easy to move, not to mention the fact that Alex Nedeljkovic's contract is going to be something they're going to have to keep an eye on as the season gets closer and closer to July 1st when he hits that unrestricted free agency. So I'm not exactly sure how easy it's going to be to move that type of contract. I don't think they move Ryan Graves. One, it's going to be hard to do it, and two, it really sounds like Kyle Dubas wants to give Ryan Graves that second opportunity at fitting in and working with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not sure I necessarily agree, but that's just what I feel like based on hearing Kyle Dubas speak over the last couple of months. But it comes down to Rickard Rakell and Riley Smith. Do I think they could move Riley Smith? I think it's very possible. 1 year left on that contract at $5 million. It didn't work in Pittsburgh, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a track record. I don't think it would work in Pittsburgh. I think they're better off going younger, especially at that position, especially if you're seeing him as a third line winger, which is what he was at the end of the season. I think that there's a true possibility that he's the one that ends up getting moved to open up some salary cap space for the Penguins further down the line. Team Crusade has a question here. It says, if you were Dubas, what kind of players would you bring in? I'd say fast and physical. If I was looking for players for this team, fast, yes. I mean, when you get younger, the thought automatically goes to you're going to get faster. When you bring in a guy like Pustinen, when you bring in a guy like a Koivunen, you're going to get a little bit faster. Sam Poulin's not is younger, not necessarily the most fleet of foot, but I think they're going to get younger, and I think that's the biggest thing that they want to get. And they also want to get guys that kind of fit that mold of Michael Bunting. I think they saw, if I was Dubas, I should say, sorry, that's the question. If I was Dubas, what kind of players would I bring in? I would bring in players that can play in the net front. They don't have to be bruisers. They don't have to be fighters. They don't have to be guys that can go out there and lay people out. But they need to be able to hold their own in the net front. They need to be able to have a little bit of that sandpaper to get under people's skin, a little bit more of those Michael Bunting type players. I think that's something that you're going to see Drew O'Connor try to add to his game over the offseason. And if he's successful at doing that, it's going to be massive for the Penguins. If you can bring in another one of those guys, I was big on Max Domi last offseason. They weren't able to bring him in, but I thought he would have been a nice addition to the Penguins. Somebody that has that high offensive upside, but really brings it when it comes to the intangibles of getting under people's skin, playing in the net front, being really good at being an agitator to get the Penguins to the power play. And hopefully they fix the power play in the offseason so they can actually take advantage when those players create those opportunities. Hemihead says, will they finally dump P.O. Joseph? It feels like the writing's on the wall for that. I mean, he was a healthy scratch for a large portion of the season. He was dealing with injuries during another part of the season. I think the defense needs to be a lot better next year for the Penguins. They finished 26th in the NHL in expected goals against per 60 minutes. That takes out the goaltender. That takes out everything except for their ability to give up opportunities, and they gave up the 26th most. That's not good. That is certainly not good enough to make the playoffs, and 100% not good enough to make it to a Stanley Cup final. So does P.O. Joseph end up being cut because of that? There were rumors that he was on the outs, or at least the Penguins were looking to trade him at the deadline. I would be surprised if they brought him back, because where does he fit, right? Do you want him to be your third pairing defenseman with Jack St. Ivany? I think that pair might work together. But at the end of the day, P.O. Joseph is a guy that you're not going to send back down to the American Hockey League. Do you want him to be your seventh defenseman? He doesn't seem like he is consistent enough to be that seventh defenseman. At least over this season, he hasn't seemed to be that way. He had a really good rookie season 2 years ago. This year, it was a sophomore slump. Do you trust him to bounce back and be that player that he was 2 years ago? Especially if you're able to put him with a guy like Jack St. Ivany, who's better at clearing out the net front, who's better at shutting down rushes. Maybe you do bring him back if it's for cheap. But I think the Penguins, especially if they're not going to move on from Ryan Graves, should move on from P.O. Joseph and look for a little bit of new blood to go with Jack St. Ivany on that third pairing. And maybe you find somebody else to take St. Ivany's place. If you find somebody better, I'm all for it. But I think St. Ivany certainly proved that he belongs at least near an NHL caliber roster starting next season. DETH Cole Walsh asks, what do you think the average age for Pitt looks like at the start of next season? Well, it's not going to be as pretty as everybody wants it to be. Everybody harps on age. And honestly, to me, the age thing doesn't really apply as much to Pittsburgh, because a lot of that age and that average age is because Sidney Crosby is going to be 37. Evgeny Malkin's going to be 38. Chris Letang's going to be either 37 or 38. Erik Karlsson's going to be 34. But all of them are performing like they're still very much in their prime. Maybe not Evgeny Malkin, maybe not Chris Letang from the point production, but I will still go to bat for Evgeny Malkin. He was one of the best second-line centers in the league and signed for $6.1 million. That's a bargain deal. You got pretty much market value from Evgeny Malkin, if not more from Evgeny Malkin. So having that at 38 years old, yeah, does it make it look worse on the average age? Sure. But when it comes to the actual performance on the ice, when it comes to what you're getting out of that age, I think it makes up for it. So what do I think the average age looks like? Probably lower than the last couple of seasons because, one, a 39, 40-year-old and Jeff Carter is retired. So that's going to take that roster spot down to probably a 24 or 25-year-old, considering Kyle Dubas wants to replace it with younger players. It's going to be less than the last 2 years, but at the same time, it's not going to be as low as everybody wants. It's probably still going to be in the 20s, if not the high 20s, in 25, 26, or 27th in the National Hockey League. The average age is not what I look at. The performance is what I look at. And right now, the Penguins, they need to get the same performance out of Sidney Crosby. They need to get the same performance out of Evgeny Malkin. And if they do that, the average age is not going to be that important. Now, would I like them to replace, I don't know, maybe a Nola Chari, or at least move Nola Chari over to the wing and replace a Matt Nieto or a Jansen Harkins with a younger player, or somebody who's younger, has a little bit better legs, or fresher legs, I shouldn't say better legs, and somebody that brings a little bit something different to the lineup? Yeah, I would like that. But am I really worried about the actual average age? I'm not concerned about it. Team Crusade says, what would you do with the goaltending situation? I think a new starter, Blomqvist as the backup, and a solid third stringer in case Blomqvist doesn't live up to the expectations. For me, I would be, at least at this moment, more comfortable with Alex Nedeljkovic on a cheap deal, maybe $2 million because he probably deserves a pay raise, and Joel Blomqvist more than I would be with Tristan Jarry and Joel Blomqvist. Tristan Jarry just hasn't shown it after January, not even into April, into May. He hasn't shown it past January that he can sustain the pressure of an NHL season. And Joel Blomqvist is a rookie. I need to see a little bit more from him. I need to see him, I don't know, maybe play an actual NHL game. I like him. I'm excited to see what he's able to do in the AHL playoffs. But if I'm Kyle Dubas and going into next season, and I talked about this earlier today, there's two reasons why I wouldn't want it to be Jarry and Blomqvist. Reason number one, the Penguins need to win a Stanley Cup as soon as possible. That's the goal. Win a Stanley Cup in 2024-25. And going with a goaltender that's never won a playoff series, that has struggled in the only playoff series he's played in Tristan Jarry, and has consistently struggled past the All-Star break, and backstopping him with a rookie goaltender who has yet to see a single shot of NHL action, just seems like putting a lot on the line. It seems like you're going out on a limb, and it seems like a very risky proposition for the Penguins. So I don't like Jarry and Blomqvist as of right now. I would prefer Nedeljkovic and Blomqvist as of right now because Ned, as you saw at the end of the season, when the going gets tough, he might not be, you know, the second coming of George Vezina, but what he is going to do is he's going to battle and he's going to get you victories. 8-1-3 over the last 13 games. And that's what I like. So at the end of the day, I'd have to take a deeper dive into what the free agents look like in the goaltending market. I don't think it looks too good. Obviously, we have to wait and see what the trade market looks like for goaltenders because a lot of the trade market gets established after the Stanley Cup final. But as of right now, I would go with, if you're stuck with Tristan Jarry, which I think it's going to be hard for them to move that contract. If you're stuck with Tristan Jarry, I'd bring in another Alex Nedeljkovic type. And if Joel Blomqvist proves that he's ready, then you can supplant him. Right? You can supplant him midway through the season, get Blomqvist in there, and maybe do a 1A, 1B if Blomqvist continues to prove that he's ready for the brighter lights. I would bring in at least somebody else in between those two to be a buffer, to be somebody who you can bring Blomqvist along as slowly as you need to, and you don't have to rush him out of the AHL. Pittsburgh Hornet says, I love Malkin, but he looked a little slow during the midseason. Was he injured, and do you see him rebounding next season? He did look a little slow throughout the season, and that's just what you're going to get from a 38-year-old That's what you're going to get from somebody who has dealt with some injuries that Evgeny Malkin has dealt with. But also, it's what you're going to get when he doesn't have line mates. Ricard Raquel was bad for a large portion of the season. In fact, Ricard Raquel didn't look good with Evgeny Malkin until Michael Bunting showed up. And before that, it was Evgeny Malkin with Valtteri Puustinen. You saw that gave him a little bit of life. But again, Puustinen, probably another step away, probably another year away from being a guy that can actually drive play in the top six. Once you saw Evgeny Malkin get a line mate in Michael Bunting, somebody that could open up the ice for him, somebody that goes in front of the net, that gets in the goaltender's kitchen, and that opens up passing lanes for Evgeny Malkin, that line became undeniable, and that line became a huge, huge positive influence on the Penguins' success. That's the Evgeny Malkin that I would expect. Maybe not for a full season. You're probably not going to get a full 82 of that Evgeny Malkin that we saw down the stretch. But I do think that while he might have looked slow during midseason and he might have had a few off games here and there, that comes with the territory of having a 38-year-old second-line center. But at the same time, when you look at the numbers, point production, when you look at the money that he's making, I'd stack him up against almost any second-line center in the National Hockey League. He's underpaid still for putting up the points and the numbers that he did. He's underpaid, and he still has the talent when he's given the right line mates to go out there and impress. Let me see if there's any other questions here before we say goodbye for this episode of Tip of the Iceberg Live. Hemihead says, when they find a winger that works with Malkin, they give that winger to Crosby. Historically, that has happened. I mean, Marian Hossa, name number one there. He ended up playing with Sidney Crosby. James Neal is one of the few that ended up staying with Evgeny Malkin. That worked out well. And this is one where I think Michael Bunting starts the year on the second line, because I thought Bunting looked fine with Crosby, but he looked much, much better, and he worked much, much better with Evgeny Malkin. So I'd be interested to see if Malkin stays with Bunting. I would assume that's where they start next season. Cole Walsh says, could you see if Jari gets traded and Blomqvist isn't quite ready? Maybe they trade for a Spencer Knight or a Filip Gustavsson. I don't think the Minnesota Wild would give up Filip Gustavsson. They just signed Marc-Andre Fleury to a $2.5 million contract for next year. That's to be their backup. Gustavsson's their starter. I don't think they're giving him back to Pittsburgh anytime soon. Spencer Knight's in an interesting position because obviously came in with a whole lot of pedigree, has taken some time off, and Sergei Bobrovsky is down there in Florida on a huge deal. And honestly, as of the last couple of years, he's really earning that contract, right? He took him to a Stanley Cup final last year. He's been really good this year once again, and now they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs once again with a 1-0 lead on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I don't think Gustavsson's an option. Spencer Knight, again, you'd have to see where he's at, but that one's an interesting one. That one's one that, you know, if he ends up becoming available, that I could see the Pittsburgh Penguins potentially looking at. But I also think that they have really high expectations for Joel Blomqvist, and I really think that they like Sergei Mereshev, their goaltending prospect that's playing over in Russia this season. We'll see whenever he makes his jump over to North America, but it might end up being Blomqvist as the next guy. It's just a matter of when and who you have for this current team, because like I said, they're going for a Stanley Cup as early as next season. Team Crusade says, what do you think this team needs the most? I'd say lack of speed and forechecking. I think this team was fine on the forecheck at points. They needed to do it more consistently throughout the season, and I think they do have a handful of forwards that are very good on the forecheck. Brian Rust, for example. Sidney Crosby, obviously. Drew O'Connor has been good on the forecheck. That's something that he said in locker room cleanout that he wanted to get better at. I think Michael Bunting brings that to the table. I think that's something you need to see a little bit more of from a guy like Valtteri Puustinen, but the forecheck is also something that's in Sam Poulin's wheelhouse. So I think if I had to say what is the one thing the team needs the most, it's better defensive defensemen, people that can play in the zone, maybe not off the rush as much, but in the zone, guys that can shut people out, push them out of the crease, and be a little bit better at protecting the house in front of whoever's in net, whether that be Jari, Nedeljkovic, Blomqvist, what have you. Maybe a Taylor Gauthier, probably not. He was the ECHL goalie of the year, but unlikely to make it to the NHL within the next season. Let's see what else we got here. any chance of signing Geno's parents full-time fans would be nice to see. I love whenever Geno's parents are in the stands. One quick story about Geno's parents. It was the 2017 Stanley Cup parade, and I was down there with a couple of friends, and they had what they call the colander cup, which is basically a trash can flipped upside down with a colander zip tied to it to make it look like a very, very lowbrow Stanley Cup. Signed by a lot of players. Tyler Kennedy's on there. Both Jake Guentzel and Connor Sherry signed it that year. But we got Evgeny Malkin's dad to get out of the truck with Geno, come over and sign it. And honestly, he was just smiling, taking pictures with everybody. The truck left. Geno left. And they had to come back and get Geno's dad. Obviously, very happy at the time. It's always nice to see them in the stands. And honestly, Geno plays inspired when they're in town. You saw him get that jump from the game that they showed up on. Now, part of that was Michael Bunting. Part of that might have also been, you know, the time of the year. There's not much left that you need to hold the gas in the tank for, so just let it all go. But it'd be nice to see Geno's parents there more full-time, but obviously understanding that that might not always be as easy as possible. Any other questions we have here? Cole Walsh says Nikita Zadorov would be a great add, I think, but only if Graves gets shipped. Again, I don't know if Zadorov ends up getting, or not Zadorov, excuse me, if Ryan Graves ends up getting shipped out. Like, again, it could be GM speak. It could be him playing up Ryan Graves to try to move him in the offseason, but it really feels like he's a guy that they're going to give at least another year to, especially because he just signed him for $27 million less than a calendar year ago. He probably wants to give him another opportunity to prove him in Kyle Dubas, right? But that's going to do it for this episode of Tip of the Iceberg Live. Again, thank you to everybody for tuning in this Tuesday. Reminder, next Tuesday's Tip of the Iceberg Live will feature the giveaway for the Jaromir Jagr bobblehead. You can get in two different ways. One, subscribe to Inside the Penguins on YouTube and screenshot that proof of subscription. Post it under the pinned tweet on Twitter at Iceberg Podcast. Or you could leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, same thing goes. Screenshot that, post it under the pinned tweet, and we will select the winner next Tuesday at this forum live on Inside the Penguins on YouTube. But that's going to do it for this episode of Tip of the Iceberg Live. We'll see you guys next time.